This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, March 7th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Rob Canner has this week's edition of the Environmental Almanac. He'll talk about bobcats. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first a look at today's news. A rash of drug-related arrests on Wednesday landed 17 people in jail, and it gave local police a chance to make a point. The East Central Illinois Task Force is the drug enforcement arm of a number of police agencies in Coles, Douglas, and Moultrie counties. Coles County Sheriff Darrell Cox says the task force stands to lose $74,000 under the latest federal budget, and though he says individual police departments can pick up some of those expenses, drug enforcement is too important to underfund.
In a moment's notice, I could have six undercover agents where I needed them in regards to doing some type of undercover covert drug enforcement. Without the task force, I don't have anything to fall back on. Obviously, I don't have a covert vehicle. I don't have the equipment, the surveillance equipment, the overhear equipment, nor do I have the officers in plain clothes to be able to fill that void.
Congress is considering a bill to restore nearly $500 million in funding to drug task forces. Officers on Wednesday served one search warrant and arrested 17 people. Four more are still at large. Those arrested were mainly from the Charleston-Mattoon area. An anti-death penalty group says the Illinois death penalty system remains too expensive and arbitrarily implemented despite modest reforms introduced in recent years. The Illinois Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty is calling on Illinois lawmakers to follow the recent example of New Jersey and abolish the death penalty. Jane Bowman, executive director of the coalition, says more capital punishment defendants have been found not guilty in the last 5 years that have been sent to death row, citing data compiled by the coalition. The coalition says in a report that judges and juries are becoming increasingly unlikely to sentence defendants to the death penalty, making spending on capital cases a waste of money. An FBI agent testified yesterday that investigators have identified more than $1.4 million raised by political fundraiser Tony Rezko for Governor Rod Blagojevich from 2000 to December 2004. Charles Willenborg was one of the first witnesses in Rezko's political fraud trial. A chart compiled by the FBI using the Blagojevich campaign's own records showed that Rezko had raised thousands of dollars from contractors, insurance people, lobbyists, and individuals who later got seats on state boards that were involved in an alleged shakedown scheme. Another witness, attorney Susan Lichtenstein, served as Blagojevich's general counsel in his first year in office. She testified that Rezko sat in on her job interview and was a regular presence at the governor's strategy sessions with his closest advisors. University of Illinois President Joseph White told an Illinois House committee yesterday that he's proud of a lot of things accomplished at the school in the past year. The University of Illinois at Springfield opened a recreation center, and the Urbana-Champaign campus will house the world's fastest supercomputer. But he says he hopes to see progress in one project in particular.
I think about Lincoln Hall every day. To me, Lincoln Hall, the cornerstone building of higher education in the state of Illinois, is in disgraceful condition. I'm president of the university, and I think we really, really must fix Lincoln Hall, both as a substantive matter and symbolically.
The heavily used building on the Urbana campus has been on the state's to-do list for the last couple of years. White says he hopes lawmakers will find the money this year to give the building its facelift. One of the exhibits at the Engineering Open House running today and tomorrow at the University of Illinois gives participants a risk-free demonstration of the dangers of distracted driving. The exhibit was created in memory of Matt Wilhelm, a U of I engineering grad who was killed by a driver distracted by her cell phone, and it gives participants a measurement for their driving skills while distracted with a computerized driving simulator. While at the wheel, participants try to stay focused on the road while punching numbers into a keypad that simulates a cell phone. Matt's mother, Gloria Wilhelm, says she hopes the exhibit will send the same message that she tries to communicate in talks she's given to students since her son's death.
And so we're just trying to tell them, we don't want someone else to say, I'm sorry, I killed your son or daughter or husband. I didn't know what I was doing. It was so dangerous. We're trying to get the word out that it is dangerous.
Gloria Wilhelm says donations made in her son's memory paid for the student-built exhibit, which is located at the, in the U of I's Mechanical Engineering Lab. She says those donations are also paying to bring students from Urbana High School and Jefferson Middle School in Champaign to see the engineering open house and the distracted driving exhibit. A former University of Illinois professor whose innovations transformed electronics is now immortalized on a postage stamp. A ceremony was held yesterday unveiling the stamp bearing the image of physicist John Bardeen. The winner of two Nobel Prizes was one of the inventors of the transistor and contributed to the first fundamental explanation of superconductivity. U of I Physics Department head of Dale Van Harlingen considers Bardeen a hero. The two taught together on campus for a while, where he says Bardeen defined his department's humble style.
If you ever met him, he had a very interesting style. If you ask him a question, he would often sort of turn his head and you thought he wasn't paying attention, but then he would come back with a very thoughtful response at the end of all this. So just a very, I think when you talked to him, you knew that you were in the presence of someone who was very brilliant.
Bardeen also was an advisor to the Kennedy and Reagan administrations. He taught and studied at the U of I for 30 years and died in 1991. May 23rd of this year will mark the centennial of Bardeen's birth. He's one of four American scientists being honored this year by the U.S. Postal Service. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan has issued subpoenas to Countrywide Home Loans and Wells Fargo Financial Illinois to investigate whether minority borrowers were unfairly steered to some loans. The subpoenas ask for loan details about everything from borrowers' race and ethnicity to their creditworthiness. Central Illinois Democrats have picked longtime radio broadcaster Colleen Callahan to run for the 18th district seat being vacated by Representative Ray LaHood. Chairman in 16 of the district's 20 counties chose Callahan to run against Republican State Representative Aaron Schock. An 1864 letter written by Abraham Lincoln about slavery is expected to fetch the highest price ever for a manuscript by the president. The letter, estimated to be worth $3 million to $5 million before the April 3rd auction at Sotheby's, could become the most expensive Lincoln letter ever sold. In it, Lincoln gives his heartfelt reply to a group of youngsters who asked him to free America's little slave children. Lincoln says, "Please tell these little people I am very glad their young hearts are so full of just and generous sympathy." Also on the block are more than 100 manuscripts written by other presidents and major American historical figures. Thomas Jefferson reports on his debilitating month-long migraine headache and George Washington's failing health. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. On this week's Environmental Almanac, Rob Cantor considers bobcats in the prairie state.
Early one recent morning, Urbana resident Roger Diggs was out for his regular sunrise walk at Meadowbrook Park. He was listening for the earliest migrating birds of the spring and following the tracks a pair of coyotes had left in the slushy snow next to the path. Then he saw something unusual, an animal he thinks was a bobcat. He described the animal this way. It seemed relatively short in length for the size of its body, and it had a stubby tail, which stuck up. Its fur was patterned, although the light was too dim to see the pattern clearly. It had a large head with a wide face that seemed squashed and prominent, tufted ears. When it paused to look at me, I could see a hint of yellow in its eyes. I could have been fooled by the low light, but it certainly moved in a feline rather than canine fashion, and it was much larger than any domestic cat. As a longtime birder, Diggs is accustomed to the questions that arise when someone reports an improbable observation, but the features he describes characterize a bobcat very well. You might be surprised to learn that bobcats are not really a rarity in Illinois anymore, at least not where suitable habitat exists. Bobcats inhabited the entire state prior to 1820, but their populations declined dramatically over the course of the following century as a result of habitat loss and unregulated hunting and trapping. They were added to the state list of threatened species in 1977. Scientific studies conducted during the 1990s, however, found that bobcats had again become widely distributed in suitable habitat and that their numbers were continuing to grow, and they were removed from the state list of threatened species in 1999. According to the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, there have been reliable reports of bobcats in 99 of the 102 counties statewide in the past two decades. By far the greatest numbers of Illinois bobcats are found in the southern third of the state, where the greatest amount of wooded habitat exists, especially in the Shawnee National Forest. Population estimates based on available territory suggest that perhaps 2,200 bobcats may now be living in Illinois south of Interstate 64. Consistent reports of bobcats in Joe Davis County indicate the presence of another population in the northwestern corner of the state. Bobcats also occur at lower densities in the wooded corridors along the Mississippi, Illinois, and Kaskaskia rivers. Like other animals that coexist successfully with humans, bobcats are adaptable creatures. They feed on a variety of small prey and use whatever suitable structures are available for dens, anything from fallen trees and hollow logs to rock piles, caves, and abandoned buildings. In addition, bobcats are most active when we are least likely to see them, at dawn and dusk, and during the night. Because they are small and inclined to avoid us, bobcats represent no threat to people. Unfortunately for anyone who might hope to see bobcats in Champaign-Urbana, they are probably not adaptable enough to take up residence here, where so little forest exists. But it is exciting to think that Roger Diggs might have seen one passing through, all the same.
Rob Cantor is a writer with the University of Illinois Environmental Council. To find out more about Environmental Almanac or listen to it again, follow the links on our website at wiol.illinois.edu. And you can read Environmental Almanac on Sundays in the News Gazette. Support for Environmental Almanac is provided by the University of Illinois Office of the Provost. In the forecast for the region, cloudy skies, a chance of light snow with a high around 32 degrees. Tonight, cloudy skies, a chance of snow, the low around 17, blustery, with north winds up to 30 miles per hour. Partly sunny tomorrow with a high around 28 degrees. For tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, the low around 15, partly sunny skies Sunday, the high around 38. Mostly cloudy Sunday evening, the low around 25. Monday and Monday evening, partly cloudy, the high around 45, the low around 30. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, March 7th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.